Do you like cemeteries? Do you ever wonder something might follow you home from a cemetery? Or have you ever wished that something would? Meet Abby, a paranormal investigator and vlogger from Illinois who spends a considerable amount of time in haunted cemeteries, and she has spooky encounters as a result. Hear her stories today on Homespun Haints. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today on the show, we are so thrilled to bring on a wonderful woman. We've known her through the spooky paranormal podcasting world. Her name is Abby, and she is the founder of the YouTube channel, Mysteries of the Past and Present, where she does vlog-like trips to various cemeteries, as well as recording her day-to-day spooky life. It's quite a fun show to watch. She has such an amazing personality, which comes through so well in the videos. I crack up laughing every time I watch one of her shows. She does an amazing job with it. And of course, it's very spooky, and she explores all sorts of mysteries of the past and the present. So we're going to bring her on here in a few minutes. But Diana, before we bring on Abby, I understand you have a few things that you wanted to share with me.
So when we were talking to Abby, it was her cat's birthday. And that was very important because her cat, Smokey, is her ghost detector, which you'll see here in just a few minutes once we get to her interview. But it got me thinking, like, it would be nice to be able to bring your cat ghost hunting. I think that would be much more useful than a REM pod or a spirit box or EMF reader. Don't you think if you could bring your cats ghost hunting with you, they would absolutely point out the ghosts?
After they clawed out your eyes.
See, that's the problem. You don't have an adventure cat.
No, I don't. I have a friend with an adventure cat.
Oh, tell me more.
Her name's Nikki. She and I used to have an office together. She's also a graphic designer, and she has a cat named Tino, and Tino's an all-black cat, and she takes Tino on adventures. In fact, I remember I would come to the office sometimes, and there'd be little paw prints on my desk. She got Tino a little harness, and she got him a stroller, and she's training him to be an adventure cat. Her handle on TikTok is Nikki_and_Tarantino. Nikki spelled with one K, N-I-K-I, and Tarantino spelled like the director. It's just all these videos of her and her cat, and it's really cool.
Oh.
I bet Tino would go ghost hunting. He's an all-black cat, too.
Hainted Loves, if you're not familiar, there are cats out there that are adventure cats. And most people who don't have cats think of cats as like hostile weirdos that stink and make a mess and don't actually want to interact with humans. And some cats are very much like that. Yeah. And then you've got cats like Ella, who's Becky's little bird-brained lover, who has no idea who you are except her best friend the moment she sees you. And then you get these neighborhood cats that are really confident about stalking around the neighborhood. But even those cats have their territory, and apparently male cats have like a this is complete false fake news, but I think that male cats out in the neighborhood will have about a 1 mile square radius, and then female cats will have about like a 2 or 3 block square radius that they consider their home and their territory. And they don't really go very far on adventures. That's not an adventure cat either, because you try and put one of those cats on a harness and put it in your car and take it to Sonoma, it's not going to happen. An adventure cat is a specific kind of cat that's a pet, that's a close pet, not a feral pet, that you train to walk on a leash like a dog, or even walk without a leash, which is a really risky prospect because it's hard to train a cat not to run into traffic. Basically, a cat that goes everywhere a dog would go. My mom used to have an adventure cat who was a Lynx Point Siamese, I think, named Tuk Tuk. Tuk Tuk would go with her to primarily yard sales because we have a thrifty family. So Tuk Tuk, she'd put him on a harness and take him to the yard sale, hop out of the car, and the cat's sniffing everything at the yard sale. He never peed on anything or scratched anything. He was a very good adventure cat. He would just sniff around and let people pet him. And everybody oohed and aahed. Oh, the cat. Look at the cat. He's walking like a dog. He was chill. And then the moment it was time to leave and she started heading towards the car, as soon as he realized she was heading towards the car, he'd do the cat boneless flop. You know, the whole cat on a leash. I don't know what my legs are.
Yeah, like a toddler.
Exactly. Just like complete flop. She'd have to pick him up and carry him back to the car because he hated leaving. He was a genuine adventure cat. She wasn't torturing him. He loved this activity. It wasn't frightening for him at all. He just didn't want to go home like your kids. Eventually, you have to force them to go home. So I'm wondering what makes a good adventure cat and what would specifically make a good adventure cat for ghost hunting? Because as you know, Becky, I don't go ghost hunting because I think it sounds like something that I'd be really bad at. Because it sounds really long and cold and dark, so I really don't think I'd enjoy it. But if I had an adventure cat that liked ghost hunting, I think all that could change. I think I could be a ghost hunter if I could bring my cat with me.
So a lot of advantages to having a cat with you. Cats can get into smaller places.
And then they don't get out.
Right, that too. They are like roaches. They can squish their bodies down and like get into any crack.
Oh, that's true. So many YouTube videos out there of cats getting under door jams.
Cats have extra bones in their spine, and they're not completely of this world either. Cats can see a lot better in the dark than we can. They also have better hearing, and of course, their sense of smell is better. So those olfactory hauntings and things like that, they're going to be good at. They're better at tracking things. If you've ever seen a cat catch a moth with its bare hands and then chew off its head, you know that a cat is good at tracking and catching things.
Shameless murder.
A lot of people think that cats, when they play with their food, it's being cruel. But no, they're wearing it out. They're wearing it out. So it's going to be easier. So if you have something that's going to wear down a ghost until the ghost is finally like, all right, I give up. Here's the location of the treasure. That can be useful too.
Nice.
But however, some reasons that I think an adventure cat would not be good at ghost hunting. They're very farsighted. They have trouble seeing things close up. If you've ever noticed that you'll put food right in front of a cat and it just ignores it, like it can't see it, it's because it can't. Cats are very farsighted. And so they'd be very good at helping you detect things that are far away. But if something's in the room with you, the cat may or may not notice. Also, you have to make sure the cat actually gives a shit about the ghosts. My experience has been that the cat just kind of looks at the spirit and is like, oh, hi, and then goes back to sleep. I think in a lot of cases, cats see these entities as just being so normal and omnipresent that they don't even react.
Just another version of the humans who are here all the damn time.
If anything, they might express mild annoyance. Unless you have something that's truly hostile or truly new, the cat's probably just going to be like, do you have food? No. Okay, I'm going back to sleep. My experience has been that a cat that's very good at detecting ghosts, it seems to be a ghost that is only there occasionally. So maybe that's why the cat is actually interested, because it's a novelty. Cats get bored very easily too, just like Diana and I. You give them a new shiny toy, they're interested in it for what, maybe a week tops?
A week. 4 minutes. I still think that if I worked hard enough at it, I think I could train a cat to ghost hunt. I really do. I don't know how, but I think I could if I really like planned it in advance for a while and had a specific set of things before I started. Because, you know, you can't go back. It's like people ask, how do I train my dog to do this? How do I train my dog to do that? And the answer is, well, go back in time to when they were a puppy and start exposing them to it then. So you need to start early. But also some cats from the shelter that are adults just have a natural adventure personality. Maybe I could go to the shelter with a harness, put it on random cats and see if they want to look for stuff with me.
Well, we have a great new business idea.
Business?
If this podcasting thing doesn't work out, you can start a ghost hunting.
I'm going to train adventure cats.
To ghost hunt.
Train ghost hunting cats.
There's a lot of money in it, I'm sure.
Listeners who are ghost hunters, what do you think? Would you purchase a professionally trained adventure ghost hunting cat? If so, how would you utilize this cat's skills in your ghost hunting? I want to know. I have to make a list of everything.
Or would you just curl up with it?
Just curl up with it and let it alert you when the ghosts are about. And that way you don't have to think about it so hard while you're ghost hunting. I don't know. Cats are good for so many things.
It's true.
I think this is a good plan. But yeah, Tainted Loves, please come at me with your ideas and suggestions, because I need a really, really, really good plan before I start to mold a kitten into the shape that I desire.
Well, you'll have to show us what you're up to on our Instagram at Homespun Haints, and maybe include some videos about it on our TikTok at Homespun Haints
Diana. Okay. How to raise an adventure ghost hunting cat.
And I'm sure you're going to leave some notes for us and our show notes for this episode as well at homespunhaints.com.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's talk to Abby.
Let's bring her on here. today on the show, we are so thrilled to have Abby of Mysteries of the Past and Present. We appeared on her show back in October, kicking off spooky season, and she has graciously agreed to come on and let us interview her because, as you can imagine, she's got so many spooky stories. And she's just a delightful person. She's a spooky person. She's hilarious. You're going to really, really love this interview. So, Abby, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
We're so thrilled to have you on here. I know we've been trying to get you on here for a while. Tell us about Mysteries of the Past and Present.
The channel started in... We had ideas for it in 2018, but it didn't really become a thing until 2019. I started it with my nephew as a way for us to hang out because both of us were going through like some difficult times, and we just wanted to hang out, and we both love spooky things. We love Mandela effects and conspiracy theories, like everything mysterious like that, urban legends and cryptids. And so we were like, hey, let's do this as a way to just hang out. And then we brought in Cody and all of our other friends, like they joined us all the time. And it we never expected this to come out of it. My nephew unfortunately had to back away in 2020 when a bunch of family stuff happened. So then it became me and Tyler, and now I'm just solo. And I never in a million years would have guessed or thought that it would turn into what it is now. Like, I've made so many amazing friends and collaborations. I've been able to travel. Like, I never thought I would have the opportunity to travel like I do now. And it has just been a roller coaster over the last 3 years.
Yeah, your channel has just exploded. And in case we didn't mention this before, it is a YouTube channel. And What is the exact address of that? It's youtube.com/what?
Mysteries of the Past and Present.
All spelled out. Okay, excellent. And your Instagram handle?
It's just mystery_past_present.
And links to all of that will be in our show notes. Please go check out Abby's channel and also check out her Instagram, where she includes a lot of stills and things from her videos. Let's get to some of your stories. You have a lot of things happen to you. It seems like every time you go somewhere, you're not even out of the car before you feel something. If you don't mind, can we go back and like the first real spooky incident that you can remember?
There was one thing that happened. I don't remember it, but my mom remembers it. My mom's mom died when she was 18 or 19. So I never got to meet her because I wasn't born until my mom was 38. So I never got to meet her. My mom wanted me to meet her, but none of my mom's kids ever got the opportunity. This house that I'm in right now, we moved in when I was one, and we've lived here ever since. My room is right here, and then my dad's room is right next to my room. So there's a wall separating us. And I had my crib in here right where I'm sitting, and our doors are on the same wall. We had only lived here for a couple weeks. My mom heard me crying one night. It was probably 1 or 2 in the morning. She sits up and she's going to come and like feed me or change me, do whatever she needed to do. And she sits up and looks out into the hallway, and she swears on her life that she saw a figure, a white figure that looked identical to her mother, walk through my door and into my room. My door was shut and I stopped crying. And my mom, instead of getting up and coming to look, she said, okay, then, and went back to bed.
That's how having a baby is, right? Oh, thank goodness the ghost got it this time.
You know, having been a tired new mom myself, I would probably have done the same thing. I get that completely.
She was like, my mom took care of it.
At least it was somebody she recognized.
Was that the only time that your grandmother came in to look on you?
I've never seen her, but my mom feels her presence all the time. My mom believes that she is my guardian angel just looking out over me. A psychic person, I don't remember who it was, but it was a couple years ago. They described this person that looks over me and described it identical to my grandma. Oh. And I was like, she is probably looking at me, seeing all of these dumb things I'm doing. And she's like, can you please stop for 20 minutes? Just give me a break.
I'm sure she's very proud of you.
I would hope so, because there have been a lot of things that she probably would have just shaken her head about. Like, why are you doing this? Do not do this.
I'm sure all of our guardian angels are up there rolling their eyes. Like, really? So let's fast forward a little bit. Was that the only time an actual apparition has visited you that people were able to see? Or have you seen things that you want to tell us about?
I was in high school. I think I was 14 or 15 when my uncle on my mom's side died, her brother. And we got his rocking chair. It sits out in the living room. It's a creepy looking thing. It's like, it's one of those like rocking chairs that has like a separate piece out in front of it, like a leg rest. And then you can just like sit there and rock. Well, it's in the corner. And I walked out of my room one day and it was rocking. I was home alone and I was like, I'm just going to go back to my room. I'm not dealing with this right now. It's not happening. I've always gotten weird vibes by the rocking chair. And we actually have a cat, Smokey. It's his birthday today.
Aww.
He's 6 years old.
Happy birthday, Smokey.
But when the rocking chair came in, he was off put by it at first. And then he started laying in it. And he would lay in it for 8 hours at a time. And it was almost as if somebody was sitting in it petting him. The way he would be purring and just relaxing, it was almost like somebody was there in the chair petting him, and he would lay there and he would sleep the entire day. And now we take it as a sign that he is here. We'll know that his presence is here when Smokey gets in the chair. He doesn't get in it often, but when he does, he will lay there an entire day, an entire night, and just be so content. And it's the exact opposite of how he acts. So it's almost like my uncle is coming to spend time with him. And then there was another time. I have a lot of clothes. So I have all of my hoodies in a closet outside of my room. It's like a hall closet, but I took it over for clothes. And I was sitting there. It was in the summer a couple years ago. I was folding them. I was sitting on the floor, putting them away. And I thought my mom was out in the kitchen. So I was talking to her and I saw a shadow out of the corner of my eye of a man, super like misty, like it was blackish, grayish, and it just kind of walked over to the chair and disappeared. And I thought it was my mom like looking out the window, and I thought she was spaced out because I wasn't really paying attention. And I'm like, hey, are you going to answer my question? And I look over and nobody's there. I get up and I go to the kitchen and my mom's out in the backyard and nobody else was home. And I was like, okay. And I went out and I told my mom, and my mom was like, oh, so I see that he's back now.
Oh.
Like, me and my mom, we are super into the paranormal. Like, we believe, and my dad is like traumatized. He's like, I don't like that. Don't talk about it to me. Like, I don't want to hear about it. It's going to give me nightmares. But me and my mom, we are so accepting of it. Like, we'll have experiences. Oh man, this was recent. It was a couple months ago. She ended up having to come wake me up because it freaked her out so bad. It was 7 or 8 in the morning, and I usually come out of my room around 9. But my dad was at work, and then she was here, and she always sits in the kitchen and gets on the computer and like reads the news and stuff like that. And in the kitchen where she sits, if you look straight, there's a hallway that goes to a laundry room, and then past the laundry room is a bathroom. And there's a mirror right at that wall that points back at her. And she glanced up and she saw her brother looking back at her, and it freaked her out.
From outside of the room, like she was far enough away that he could have maybe potentially been looking at her from inside the room, the way the mirror was reflecting, you mean? Oh, wow.
And, I just got chills.
And she like looked around. She went back to the bathroom looking around like she was so confused. And she came and woke me up and she said, you are not going to believe me. And I said, yes, I am.
She woke you up. That's fantastic. Seems like a lot of stories we have. People are like, yeah, I saw a ghost last night. What'd you do then? I went back to sleep. No, come wake me up.
Usually it's the kid waking the parent up. I saw a ghost. I love that it was your mom waking you up.
My mom was raised to be spiritual, be a believer and stuff like that. So I feel like it was passed down. And then when my sister died in 2020, on the day that she died, like the year after, my mom wanted to see how my paranormal equipment worked because I was buying all this new stuff. And I had a spirit box connected to like a speaker with guitar pedals to like enhance the voices and like slow it down and stuff like that. And so we're sitting in the living room at, I think she was pronounced dead at 10:27 a.m. So we were sitting there, the room's completely dark, and I start talking to her because we feel her presence all the time in this house. Like, she is definitely here with us, watching over us, hanging out, scaring us when we need a good laugh. My mom said, "I love you, Marcy." And then clear as day, a voice comes back and goes, "I love you, Mommy."
Oh.
Oh, whoa.
This is through the spirit box?
Mm-hmm. And my mom, she was ecstatic that it worked, like that she could hear, and it sounded just like her. And so the fact that my mom could hear her daughter's voice after not hearing it for over a year, like, it just made her feel so, so warm. And it was a great moment to have. But then my dad comes home and we tell him, and he's like, "I don't want to hear about that. That's creepy."
Jeez. I think he would be thrilled.
It freaks him out. Like, anything to do with ghosts. I watched Ghost Adventures with him one night when I was 14, and he came and woke me up at 2 a.m. because he said he was having nightmares and he couldn't sleep.
So both your parents wake you up for ghosts?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. Is that the way it's supposed to
work? Are they getting you back because you woke them up about ghosts a lot when you were a kid?
No.
Or have they always been the instigators?
They have always been the instigators. They're like, "You like ghosts. What does this mean? Why is this here? Make it go away."
Oh, no.
So I'm really curious about this ghost box that you have hooked up to the guitar pedals. That sounds so metal. Oh, my God.
So you're basically a ghost DJ. What's going on?
So it's an SB7, and then it is Velcroed to the side of a speaker. It's like a brown speaker in a box. And then it's got two guitar pedals. One's like reverb. One makes it echo and changes the sound. And then the other one is to slow it down. So like when the voices come through, it's louder, it echoes, and like the syllables are strung out more. So it makes it easier for a person like me who's practically deaf to hear the voices.
My daughter plays guitar. I might be stealing some of her pedals to mess around with this. When she asked me what I did with her equipment, I'll just say, "It's for science.
It's not for ghosts, I swear."
Oh, you know what? That would be a great science fair project for the kids. I'm sure that will go over well.
Just open a portal to talk to some ghosts to see if it works.
Put it on a poster board. This is the priest who had to come after the science fair experiment. You gotta have a conclusion.
Speaking of portals, you do a lot with Ouija boards. You love Ouija boards.
Oh, yeah.
Diana and I do, too.
All three of us have the identical vintage Ouija board. Nice. Okay.
This is the one that I found in a cemetery.
That's right. Okay, tell us that story, because that is so cool.
It was in 2021, in September, I think. We went to Bloods Point Cemetery with Raphael. Maybe it's spiritual there, another podcast in Illinois. We got there. And I walk into the cemetery, and Raphael was like, "Hey, I'm going to go look in these woods because there's woods right next to the cemetery." And I'm just looking around the cemetery, you know, feeling the energy, finding good places that I want to take pictures. And he comes walking back, and he's holding up this Ouija board. And he was like, "Guys, I just found this in the woods." And I was like, "You did not." And he was like, "Yeah, come look." And we all went over there and we're looking in the woods for the planchette because part of the box was there and then the board was there, but the planchette wasn't there. There was somebody who like owns part of those woods that messaged me on Instagram when the video was posted and said, "When the brush clears out for the winter, I'm going to go in there and look for the planchette for you." And he messaged me back a couple weeks later and he was like, "I couldn't find it." What were people doing in the cemetery with a Ouija board? Not only just a cemetery, but one of the most haunted cemeteries in Illinois. What came through the board that they wanted to keep the planchette and the board separated?
Ooh, good question. Or if you think ghosts move the planchette when you're not touching it, maybe the ghost just ran with it. Just kept
moving
it.
Yeah, it just flew off the board and it's in Kansas somewhere.
I can't believe you found parts of the box and stuff. That's wow. That's an interesting situation.
He just came back and he was like, are you going to keep it? And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to keep it, dude. Why would I not? Like, that is the perfect opportunity to have like an attachment come home with you, like have more paranormal activity.
And did it work?
No, there was nothing attached to the board. And I was kind of sad about it.
It was all on the planchette.
During the cemetery investigation, like, it was so creepy. There was one part where I was recording and we were scraping grass off of a tomb that had fell and trying to read it. And somebody said something. And then later when I was editing, you could hear a very deep voice that says, my tomb. Like, super deep. It scared the living hell out of me. That was the last time I ever edited anything at night. Because I was like, okay, nope.
That's really on the nose.
My tomb, not yours.
That was the first super dark voice that I ever got, and it really terrified me.
So it was not a positive energy that you felt with
it. I don't think it was.
It might have been the neighbor from the neighboring grave. Why don't you clean my tomb? Excuse me.
So what other things have you encountered on your cemetery investigations? I know there's probably way too many to fit into this episode, but give us some highlights.
There was one that really sticks out with me. It was in 2020. We went to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery up by Chicago.
Yep.
And we actually ran into the caretaker there. He sat there and told us stories for like an hour. And he said that people will claim that shadow figures, not spirits, but interdimensional traveling beings will follow you home, and they're not evil, they're not malicious, they're not going to hurt you, but they just travel with you. And everybody who like comes back and talks to him says that they come as black figures with like a cloak and a hood on. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I wonder what would happen if one followed me home. And so we like continue everything. We're getting stuff on the SB7 and we're getting activity. We're taking pictures and we go home. I get home around like 1 a.m. and I am just exhausted, like 3-hour car ride. I was so tired and I laid down, and in the corner of my room, right over there in the corner, I felt a presence and I knew exactly what it was. I was facing the other way and I was like, I don't even have to turn around to know what it is. I'm seeing it in my mind. I know that it's there. And I said out loud, listen, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Not tonight. And then I just fell asleep. And then the next day, my nephew was coming over with his wife and kid. And so I was trying to get some editing done before he came over. I was sitting at the desk and Smokey was in my room. And he was in the corner looking up, just meowing at this figure that I knew was behind me. And I was getting so sick and tired of it that I turned around and I said, look, you can't be here anymore. You need to go back to the cemetery. I have shit to do. I'm done. And then it left and never saw it since.
How do you know it left?
Because Smokey stopped meowing at the wall.
Smokey's a good ghost detector.
I just never felt it at night anymore. And I wasn't having like the dreams and the visions of it in my room anymore. And it just felt clear again.
Bachelor's Grove. We actually did an episode on it back, I think we called it the most haunted cemetery in the world or something like that, mm-hmm. back in season 3. And I still kicking myself for never having gone there for the 10 years I lived in Chicago. I was too chicken shit. Now I would totally do it, but I was a lot younger and a lot more scared then. Now I don't care. What was the vibe like? Did you really feel like, oh my God, this is the most haunted cemetery in Illinois and maybe in America? Or was it just like any other cemetery?
There was definitely a vibe there that I've never had at any other cemetery. I wouldn't say it was from it being super, super haunted, but it was almost like energy was just radiating up out of the ground, up out of the woods. Like, just, it was an overwhelmingly massive ball of energy that anywhere you went in the cemetery, that's what it felt like. It was just overwhelming. And we ended up walking through the trails a little bit because, you know how they say you'll see like phantom houses and
yes.
stuff. We walked through the woods. A coyote walked right up to us. And it what? Scared the hell out of me. Yeah, it was like 10 feet away from us. And then it saw us, just stared at us for a minute, and then left. And I was like, no. I'm already scared of dogs. Coyotes are bigger than dogs. Like, leave me alone, please.
Whoa, are you sure it was a living coyote?
Okay, don't make me question my life. Now you got me questioning if it was even real. Oh, no.
I mean, it was Bachelor's Grove.
It looked real. It might not have been real now.
There are phantom houses, phantom cars, phantom bodies.
Phantom coyotes.
And we walked over, like, by where that, it's what, a sewer pond or whatever? And...
A sewer pond?
Mm-hmm. It was where, like, what they the said, like, hell? Al Capone dumped those bodies or whatever. Yeah.
A corpse sewer pond. Sounds delightful. Becky, how could you miss this hotspot?
I know, I'm really kicking myself.
And we walked over by there, and we were just kind of standing there, and... You know how water is said to, like...
Channel, yes.
Yeah, paranormal activity.
Especially when it's full of bodies.
It just felt intense. Overwhelmingly intense. And we got activity, but it wasn't, like, happening every single second. Like, it wasn't the most activity I've ever had. But just the feeling and the vibe that you get from being there and being in the woods and knowing that you're surrounded by woods.
You didn't see the Phantom House, though.
I wish I would have. Like, that would have been so cool.
That is the story that kept me away from Bachelor's Grove. I don't know why. I was just so terrified that if I saw the house, I would get sucked into a portal or something. That was what terrified me so much about that place. But I've heard that if you approach the house, it gets smaller. That's one legend. If you see a house and you walk to it, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you get closer to it. It's almost like you're seeing it from another dimension or something.
Ooh.
Did that happen with the coyote?
No.
Okay. It was a real coyote then, for sure.
Was the caretaker real?
Yes, he was real because he subscribed to the YouTube channel and I subscribed to his.
So the caretaker of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery has a YouTube channel.
Yeah, he posts videos there all the time. Like, he's there like every day, and hearing his stories was just insane. Like, I could sit there and listen to him talk all day.
Do you know what his YouTube channel's called?
I'm pretty sure it's just called Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. I can send you, like, the link to it after
that. That would be great. Yeah, we'd love to include that, and I would enjoy watching that. Because you always see the most ghosts when you live or work in the haunted place. So, we've heard from two cemeteries, Blood's Point, that's a great name for a cemetery, and Bachelor's Grove. Any other stories that really stand out to you that you want to share about cemeteries or Ouija boards?
There was one cemetery that we went to last year. It was the Moon Point Cemetery in Streeter, Illinois. They call it Moon Creek Cemetery because there's a creek that runs like right along it. And this is one of those stories where it's like, as soon as I got out of the car, I get out of the car and I walk into the cemetery. I have my backpack on. Like, I'm like a little school kid ready for this. And I hadn't even taken my camera out yet. And I look to the far side of the cemetery over by where the creek is. And there was a black figure that disappeared behind one of like the massive graves, like a big family plot. And I instantly dropped my stuff and I went running over there, because in the cemetery there's only one way in and there's one way out, and if somebody was like playing a trick on me, I was gonna beat them up. Like, don't do that to me. And I look behind there real fast and I was like, what are you doing here? And nobody was there. At first I was confused because there were no other cars there. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, nobody would just walk there. And there was a figure. I'm so mad at myself for not having my camera out. Every single time we go somewhere, something always happens right when we get there, and I never have my camera out. Like, when am I going to learn?
Maybe that's why you see them, though. Maybe they don't want to be photographed.
And that part of the cemetery was super creepy. The entire time we were there in that area, things just kept happening. Like, the SB7... the temperature thing on it started going off, and it would not stop going off even after we took the batteries out.
Oh.
We turned it off, it was still going, took the batteries out, and it was still going, and I was like, okay.
You've been there several times, right?
Yeah, I've been there twice, and then we have plans to go back this summer, just because I love that cemetery so much.
Well, have your camera ready.
I will have to do that this time.
The SB7 is something I'm not familiar with. Can you give us a rundown of what that does and what you do with it?
Yeah, it's a spirit box. It goes through radio waves. It basically just emits white noise when you scan through it super fast. What I do is I always do it on reverse, because you will pick up radio signals, and like sometimes you could hear voices coming through with the radio. And they say that when you get voices over multiple sweeps of the radio length, that is more likely to be a spirit. And then when you do it in reverse too, it kind of eliminates making a word. So that's what I always try to do.
Now, okay. You mentioned the temperature. Does the SB7 have a temperature gauge on it?
Yes, that's what we were using. And I had never had it go off before, because I always have that setting turned off. I don't know how it got turned on, because we use the REM pod that also detects temperature. We never really had a use for it on the SB7. So when it started going off, it was kind of creepy.
It sounds like you have a knack for, well, you know the places to go, and you have a knack for picking things up. Isn't there a tree that's on somebody's grave where it's supposed to like keep the person in their grave?
Yeah, that's at the witch's grave in Arcola, Illinois. We've been there a couple times. She was Amish, and she got accused of witchcraft at 15 or 17 years old, and they ended up banishing her from the community. They found her in a field, naked, deceased, and they ended up burying her in the cemetery, and they were so scared of her spirit coming back to harm the village that they put a tree on top of her grave. They say that when the tree breaks, her spirit is going to come back and wreak havoc on the town. When we went there, there was somebody tried to cut the tree down with like a, I don't know what the word is. Like there was a circle around the tree. It wasn't from a saw, but it was from like some kind of wire material.
Yeah, they make camping travel saws that are just a very stiff, barbed kind of wire that you have a key ring on either side and you can kind of saw through a small tree like that, but you wouldn't want to saw through a large tree.
Somebody tried.
And then they put up an iron fence after that too. I guess the iron holds in witch energy or something like that.
Whoa. This is recent that somebody put up an iron fence since the attempted sawing down?
I think it's been up for a couple years now. I don't know exactly when they put it up, but the tree was planted and then the fence was put up because the tree is growing through the fence.
I'm still shocked at how recent this was. So that there's still people on an official type of committee who are scared that purported witch is going to break out of her grave, scared enough that they're going to erect an iron fence on a memorial site. Think about the official channels you'd have to go through to do that. I mean, that indicates somebody really cares, not just about defacing a grave, but about a purported witch escaping from a grave.
People call it the witch's grave. It's in Arcola, Illinois. It's in Amish County. And both times we have gone there, like the Amish will ride by like on their horse and buggies, and they will just look at the cemetery. Like they'll look at us like we're crazy. You can tell that the superstition is still very much alive in the community. People will, they'll tell their kids, do not go near that cemetery. Do not go past it. Like, if you have to go past it, keep your head down and do not look at it.
Probably hold your breath, too.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to go back there. So hopefully I'll go back there this year, too.
Don't forget to pack your saw.
That poor girl. She's dying to get out of that grave.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Those are so many stories. This was awesome. Abby, oh my gosh, you have so much knowledge of all of these great areas near where you live in Illinois and the Midwest, and you have such a great sense of humor about everything too. I want to tell a shadow person to get off my land after I invited them on. That takes real chutzpah. I love it. And I'm also very jealous even to Bachelor's Grove, even if you did see a coyote. I will get back there one day.
We can go together.
That would be great.
That would be so much fun.
I would love that. Well, Abby, this has been amazing. This has been so much fun to talk to you. You light up the room with your presence. You have such a warm energy to you, and it's just been great to chat with you. Tell us again where people can find you and your videos and where you're at on Instagram again, too.
My YouTube is Mysteries of the Past and Present, and then my Instagram is Mystery_Past_Present.
And again, we will include links to all of that in our show notes and in the notes that accompany this episode on your podcast player. And while you're following Abby, please go ahead and follow Homespun Haints as well at Homespun Haints on Instagram and on TikTok. And we do share stories a lot between our channel and Mysteries of the Past and Present. So if you check our stories, chances are you'll be able to see something from Abby there as well and be able to link back to her there. And then, of course, you can find our show notes at homespunhaints.com. And if you like what we're doing with the show, please consider supporting our Patreon at patreon.com/homespunhaints. Abby, thank you again. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
That was great. We really appreciate you for coming on the show, and I can't wait to see more on your channel, Painted Loves. Join me in wishing Smokey a very spooky birthday.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.